Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Liberty and Tyranny, A Conservative Manifesto is a political and constitutional argument by Mark R. Levin that presents a broad defense of limited government, individual liberty, and the principles associated with the American founding. Written as a series of essays, the book responds to what Levin sees as the rise of statism, meaning the belief that government should steadily expand to solve social and economic problems. Rather than offering a policy manual, the book is primarily an ideological framework for understanding modern American politics through the lens of constitutional conservatism. Levin emphasizes the importance of natural rights, the rule of law, judicial restraint, federalism, and a moral order that supports ordered liberty. The book is aimed at readers interested in conservative thought, constitutional interpretation, and critiques of government overreach. And it seeks to explain why political conflict often turns on competing ideas about the proper role of the state. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, statism as the central threat to liberty. A defining idea in the book is Levin's use of the term statism to describe political thinking that treats government growth as the default answer to social problems. He argues that this tendency is not just a disagreement over policy, but a deeper philosophical commitment to expanding state power at the expense of personal freedom and constitutional limits. By choosing this term, Levin tries to sharpen political debate and move it away from vague labels such as liberal or conservative, which he sees as too imprecise to capture the real conflict. The argument is important because it reframes many policy disputes as struggles over the size, scope, and legitimacy of government itself. In Levin's view, once the state becomes the primary source of solutions, individual responsibility, voluntary association, and local self-government are weakened. The book therefore treats statism not as an isolated issue, but as the organizing danger that links many modern political disputes together. Secondly, constitutional conservatism and the founder's legacy. Levin grounds his conservative argument in reverence for the Constitution and the intentions of the founding fathers. He presents the American founding as a political order built on limited government, separation of powers, and the idea that authority must remain constrained by law rather than public emotion or changing social preferences. This theme matters because the book is not simply defending tradition for its own sake. It is claiming that constitutional design protects liberty by preventing the concentration of power. Levin repeatedly returns to the idea that conservatism should preserve the principles that made the republic stable in the first place, rather than accepting the idea that government can be endlessly remade according to present needs. The book also links the founding to broader notions of ordered liberty and civic responsibility, suggesting that freedom survives only when power is dispersed and restrained. In this way, the Constitution is presented not as a technical document, but as the institutional expression of a moral and political vision. Thirdly, natural rights, dignity, and ordered liberty. Another major theme is Levin's insistence that the individual possesses inherent dignity and natural rights that exist before government. He argues that people are not merely units to be managed by public institutions, but moral beings with the right to live freely and pursue their own goals. This idea is central to the book, because it explains why limited government is not only efficient, but ethically necessary. Levin combines this with the concept of ordered liberty, meaning freedom shaped by moral restraint, inherited institutions, and social cooperation rather than pure individual impulse. He presents liberty as something that depends on a broader civil society supported by family, faith, and custom. The point is not that government should enforce morality in every sphere, but that a free society cannot survive if it treats moral order as irrelevant. This theme gives the book a philosophical foundation beyond partisan politics, connecting constitutional limits to a broader account of human nature and social obligation. Fourthly, judicial activism and the danger of law without limits. Levin is sharply critical of judicial activism, which he sees as a major route by which government power expands beyond constitutional boundaries. He argues that judges should interpret and apply the law, not rewrite it according to their own sense of justice or policy preference. This concern is central to the book because it identifies the courts as a place where constitutional meaning can either be preserved or quietly transformed. Levin warns that when judges detach legal reasoning from the text and structure of the Constitution, they weaken the rule of law and make rights dependent on elite discretion rather than stable principle. In his view, this creates uncertainty because if law can be redefined whenever authorities claim a better moral outcome, then constitutional limits lose force. The book uses this argument to show that the defense of liberty is not only a legislative or electoral issue. It also depends on how the judiciary understands its role in a system where branches are meant to check one another. Lastly, political language, labels, and the struggle to define conservatism, a distinctive feature of the book is its attention to political labels and how they shape public understanding. Levin argues that words such as liberal, conservative, and leftist have become unstable or strategically used, which makes political debate easier to manipulate. That is why he prefers the term statist for those who want bigger government, since it is more descriptive of the underlying philosophy than older labels that have shifted over time. This focus on language is more than semantic. It reflects Levin's belief that political conflict begins with competing descriptions of reality. If one side controls the terms of debate, it can make expansion of state power sound natural, humane, or inevitable. Levin also uses this discussion to define conservatism as a defense of constitutional principle rather than as a simple preference for the existing order. The theme helps readers see why the book is both ideological and rhetorical. It is trying to reclaim the words used to describe American politics and restore sharper distinctions between liberty and governmental control. In conclusion, Liberty and Tyranny will be most useful for readers who want a compact statement of modern American constitutional conservatism, especially those interested in limited government, founding principles, judicial restraint, and the political meaning of individual liberty. It is less a neutral survey than a forceful argument, so it will appeal most to readers who want a clear ideological case rather than a detached academic treatment. For students of political thought, the book offers a concise explanation of how conservatives link the Constitution, natural rights, moral order, and federal limits into one framework. For general readers, it provides a readable way to understand why disputes over regulation, courts, and executive power are often treated by conservatives as struggles over first principles rather than isolated policy disagreements. What makes the book stand out in its genre is its direct, essay-driven style and its effort to define the conservative position through a single organizing contrast with statism. Compared with many political books that focus on current events alone, Levin's work aims to present a broader theory of American governance, which gives it a more enduring, principle-based character. If you would like to support Mark R. Levin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.